Hi, I'm Harry Weiss, live in Mayfield, New York, retired from the state police in 1982.
And I'm Joanne Van Patten, the interviewer. June 18th, 1998, interview with Harry Weiss, Joanne Van Patten, the interviewer. Okay. Mr. Weiss, one of the first things I wanted to talk about was perhaps your background with the state police, how you got involved, and whereabouts you were in 1971 in your career with the state police.
Well, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I went to the Gloversville Police Department. And I worked there for 5 years. Then I went in the state police, 1966. And I was a road trooper. I'd been stationed up north in B Troop. And I came down here to Saratoga. That's where I got to know your father. And then I was stationed in Mayfield. That year I went to the state fair. And that's a 10-day detail, you know. So I got back from the state fair late in the afternoon. My wife was working. She's a teacher, or was. And then I put the troop car away and squared away all my gear. And then I spent the night. And then the next day, I was supposed to work sea line. But about 9 o'clock in the morning, by then she had gone to work, the phone rang and it was my station commander. And he said, pack up your gear again. You're going to Attica. And I said, fine, you know. So away we went for another 10 days or whatever it was.
Okay. How old were you when you were in Attica?
In Attica? Well, let's see. I'm not good at math. 1938 to 1970, right?
Okay. Okay. Now, when you went to Attica, did you have any instructions prior to going there, or?
Well, no. We had no idea what was going on, except there was some civil disturbance. So, myself and John Sierra, we went reported to Fonda, and then there were a couple of guys there from Fonda, and so finally, who were going, and the Lieutenant Hollerin was going. So we got in the car and went out on the thruway, and we had to wait till the rest of the G Troop detail came and the K Troop detail, and then there was about, I don't know, 50 or 60 troop cars out in the second lane of the thruway going.
So all traveling at the same time?
Yeah, we traveled in the convoy.
Well, that must have been impressive.
Yeah, well, the grass didn't grow, so.
Okay, what kind of a position did you have when you were there? What was your job?
At Attica?
Yeah.
Well, I was just, initially, we were just one of the mob, mm-hmm. And we just kind of waited for a couple of days because they were negotiating. And the prisoners had all their representatives there, Bobby Seale and Kunstler and somebody named Arthur Eve, and I can't remember now if he was a congressman or if he was an assemblyman, but he was from Buffalo. And there were a couple others that represented him, and they were negotiating with the Corrections Department, which was headed by Mr. Oswald at the time. And so for a couple, 3 days, we just marked time and actually did nothing.
How did you mark time? I mean, were you just standing around?
We just stood around, and the state didn't provide for us. They didn't provide food or anything like that. That's a typical thing. So ever since Attica, I've been a lover of the Lions Club, because the Lions Club fed us. And they brought out charcoal grills and hamburgers, and the people in town and the stores, they donated hamburgers and hot dogs and rolls and that kind of thing. And for the first, I think, 2 days, that's how we ate. And we slept on the ground. They gave us, they got into the commissary or the stores and got blankets, new ones. So everybody had a blanket, and that was it. Then we got, I can't remember now if it was the second night or the third night. Might have been the second, but anyway, we were broken into 2 12-hour shifts. And then they took us out and quartered us in a motel. you know, port and starboard liberty like. That was it. And by then, they did us a wonderful favor. They fed us in the prison mess hall. So, that's it.
So, at that point, after you had gotten there, did you receive information about what was going on, or were you kept informed?
Well, there was a riot in there. Buildings were burning. Prisoners were screaming and yelling, climbing on the bars up by the windows and throwing things out and insulting us and that kind of thing. And the negotiations were going on. So it was just like the Marine Corps. You wait, you hurry up and wait. So it didn't bother any of us. We just did that and just stood around and waited until we were told what to do.
Okay, on the third day, okay, I believe it was the third day, when all the demands, 28 demands, had been agreed to and there still weren't results, what was the atmosphere like for yourself and the men around you?
Hey, we were sick of standing around there. We were ready to do whatever we were ordered to do, that's all. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're troopers, which in those days was just like the military. So there wasn't anything to debate. We just wait for orders.
Did you have a personal opinion about what was happening or what should happen at that point?
Oh, yes. But not on tape.
Not on tape, okay. Now, you said that you stayed in the motel.
Yeah, they put. I think it was a Holiday Inn, I think.
Okay. Was that in town?
Yeah, yes.
What was the atmosphere in town?
I don't know, because we never got to see town.
Okay.
We were just in troop cars, or, well, I think then they had school buses to bus us out to the motel, as I recall. Okay. So we never got to talk to the people much or anything.
Well, what did you see outside the prison? I understand that there were quite a lot of people.
Yeah, reporters.
Okay.
And families of the guards who were hostages. I mean, they were treated special, you know. Mm-hmm. They had an area and we didn't let anybody bother them and so forth. Otherwise, there were reporters everywhere.
What do you think about the reporters?
Oh, I don't like reporters. Never have, never will. That's all. Cops don't like the press.
Okay. Was the whole situation very organized? Did you have confidence in...
Well, we didn't worry about doing whatever we had to do, what we were ordered to do. We knew we could do that, whatever it may be.
Now, how much training had you had for a situation like this?
We're trained in riot control, and every time we go to the range, you go to the range twice a year, once the indoor range, once the outdoor, at least in Troop G, and we had riot training there.
And what does riot training include?
It's formations, the stick, gas, that kind of thing.
And that's standard for all troopers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now they do it more. You know.
Is this the first time you were involved in something this intense, a riot?
Well, this big, yeah. I mean, Attica was big. I mean, when you're involving 2,000 or 3,000 people, that's big. So, that was the first time that I was personally involved in something that big. Okay, a lot of the other guys had been to the Rochester riots, because all that was just a few years before. Mm-hmm. So,
are you hesitant about giving your opinion
on tape? Sure.
Okay. All right. What happened Well, first of all, the day of the takeover, what were you supposed to do? What was your job?
You mean when we took the prison back?
Yes, when you took the prison back.
I and about 40 or 50 other guys were inside the prison walls, but outside of the compound. Mm-hmm. And we were to guard a certain area where there were exits. And prisoners could therefore come out there, theoretically. And we were to prevent that and do whatever necessary if it happened.
Were those the only instructions you had, or were you aware of the main plan, what was going to happen?
No, I mean, well, no. This is a military operation. We had our part on it, and we all had, at least I did, I had total faith in the state police, and everybody had their niche, and you don't have to know what the guy on the other side of the building's doing. That's not necessary.
Were you aware of what was happening on the other side of the building? I mean, could you give an educated guess while you were there? You know, sometimes you're in a situation and you kind of have a feeling what's going on, even though you don't know exactly.
You mean when we're actually retaking it?
Yeah.
Well, I could see the helicopters, and I could see the gas helicopters dropping the gas, and I could hear the rifle fire and the handgun and shotgun fire, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's it.
Okay. Now, after the riot, after the takeover,
mm-hmm.
What were your duties then at that point?
Let's see. My particular duty, let's see, what did we do? We went out, they brought out some injured prisoners. And we were in that area just keeping people away and waiting until the medics took care of them. The Army medics were there by then. And that's all. We didn't do much. We just secured a scene in police parlance.
Okay. And how long after the takeover did you stay on duty?
On duty?
Oh, okay. Well,
we were there. I mean, everybody was on duty during the assault.
Okay.
And we stayed on duty till they secured us. It was probably, long time. a long time mm-hmm. before anybody got secured. It was at least until midnight. And then we had to come back the next day. I don't remember how many days we stayed after the assault. It was one or two days. By then we were all ready to get out of there because it started to rain. And when you have blood and bodies and everything around where they've been, you know, there's danger of disease and nobody wanted to be there. It's time to go.
Okay. And then after the takeover, there was a lot of media coverage.
Oh, yeah.
And you probably came home and read that and...
Oh, yeah.
What did you feel about that? Did you think they were fair or...
No. They were typical liberal press. There were things they talked about that I never heard of. You know, I mean, it's, the press turned it around to their point of view, and that was it. It wasn't fair, of course not.
Now, when you came back onto the job, in your own station,
mm-hmm.
after Attica, and you had to deal with your own community, I'm assuming that your neighbors and people around you
knew what
your profession was.
Sure.
What was the general consensus from the people that you had come
in
contact with?
They were fine. They had no problem with that. With my being there and what happened, they had no problem with it.
Okay. I kind of run out of questions. I just want to delve a little bit more into the kinds of things that were going on that you could observe, okay, that maybe you hadn't actually partaken in, but you could observe, like outside the gates with the people who were coming in, and that to try and get...
You mean during the riot itself?
During the riot and the takeover, to kind of get a feel of what was going on there.
Well, during the takeover, is that what you want, the assault? My observations then?
Well, let's start with the riot when you got there.
Oh.
What was happening?
Well, you could see there were a lot of buildings burning.
Mm-hmm.
And the prisoners were inside, and they a lot of them were climbing up the... They'd broken out most of the windows, and they were climbing up the bars and yelling and screaming at us. Typical thing, which meant nothing. And that was it. All these negotiators were trying to get in, some of whom did. A lot of them didn't. Weren't allowed. that's it. And during the takeover, as I said, there were low buildings in front of us, and there were exits that we watched. So all we could do was hear. We could see the choppers come, see them drop the gas and all that. But we couldn't see inside where, or I couldn't, from my vantage, see inside where the fighting was going on. Could not.
Mm-hmm. Now, at the time, did most of the troopers you worked with have the same opinion as you, that this was your job and you followed instructions, it was a military-type situation?
Yeah. Well, one of the good things about the state police, which being an ex-Marine really appealed to me, is that in the state police, everybody had the same training. So a trooper from Saratoga could be transferred to Buffalo and go to work the next morning with no problems, except he wouldn't know where he was going. And we're all trained the same, and at that time, most of us had been in the military, and we all thought the same. You know, we were pretty much alike. It was a really good time in the state police. And that's the way it's always been. Now I guess it's different, I don't know. But we all felt about the same. Very, very few exceptions. We had no problems.
Mm-hmm. And the men that you were to secure those passageways, the exits, with, mm-hmm. were they all men that you knew, or were they...
Oh, no. They're just troopers. Doesn't matter. They were wearing gray.
And you had the confidence that
oh,
they
sure,
would do
absolutely.
Their job?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. No problem. It was one of the few outfits around where you could have that confidence when push comes to shove, you know.
Were you afraid at all?
No. Excited. Everybody gets excited when guns are going off, but not afraid. Had no reason to be afraid.
You never had a doubt that the troopers would take over?
Oh yeah, we could take over. There's no problem there.
Well, this is a very short interview.
Oh yes, I understand.
Probably partially because this is my first interview ever.
Really?
Yes.
I'm the guinea pig.
Yeah.
Oh, good God.
But I thank you very much for your time.
Yeah.
And I will let you know the results of the interview and how the project goes.
I probably didn't contribute too much, but.